Hey, do we have a great MC in Will Brackett? Huh? He got this place going. I understand you met my son Josh here last Friday. He's my hero. Josh is my hero. He came into this world and he got a tough start. And when he was 2 years old, the Lord gave our family here in Georgia the privilege of bringing him into our family. And he has beat all the odds. And he's my hero. And speaking of heroes, men, it was in 1734 when George Lucas left England. Can you imagine how long ago that was? 1734, left England with his wife and daughters to come over to South Carolina. And he came to claim three plantations that he had inherited from his father. Soon after he got here, being a good British Army guy, he left South Carolina to go over to Antigua and join his regiment, who was fighting against the Spanish. And guess who he left in charge of the whole operation? Three plantations. His daughter, Eliza. And here's the amazing thing. She's 16 years old. And she willingly took on the responsibilities at 16 years old. This is what she wrote to a friend back in England who was worried about her. She said, I have the business of, first of all, deciding whether we're going to live in town or in the country. I have the business of three plantations to transact, which requires much writing and more business and fatigue. This is 300 years ago. And fatigue of all of other sorts that you should imagine, all kinds of fatigue. But, she said, but least you should imagine it too burdensome to a girl at my time of life. Let me answer you. I assure you, she says to her girlfriend back in England, I assure you, I think myself happy that I can handle, that I can be useful to so good a father. And by rising early, she said, I find that I can handle much business. I can go through much business by rising early. Man, in studying this book by Cokie Roberts that I mentioned the last time I was here, I'm convinced that Eliza Lucas was taught the Proverbs as a child. Open with me to the last chapter of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs 31. Here we go, right here in verse 15. Verse 15. Look at this. We left off at 14 last time. She gets up. Now, this is the wife for you new guys and for you who are new in the Bible. This is the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, which we've been in almost a year here. And we'll wind it up here pretty soon. I never commit, you know. I never commit. It's the last chapter in the book of Proverbs, most of them written by King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived. And we're in the 15th verse today. She gets up while it is still dark. This is the wife of the woman, the wife of noble character, it's called. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Eliza Lucas. Not only, men, did she oversee the planting and harvesting of the crops on the plantations, she was also the teacher. She was also the teacher for her sister and very interesting that Cokie points out in the book, for the slave children. She taught them. Aren't women amazing creatures? Huh? Here's what Cokie writes about these founding mothers of our country. The book is called Founding Mothers. They did with great hardship, courage, pluck, prayerfulness, sadness, joy, energy, and humor, what women do. And what do? They put one foot in front of the other in remarkable circumstances. Would you all agree? Huh? The women in our lives? Even today, let's make sure that we recognize these women in our lives. I was with a couple this week. It's amazing what his wife does for their family, their extended family, children, grandparents, etc. Amazing. Verse 16 this morning, she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Men, the South Carolina Lowcountry had two things. It had rice and mosquitoes. That's a beautiful part of the world, isn't it? I remember when I first moved here 30 years ago and visiting the coastal Georgia and coastal South Carolina. I just couldn't believe the beauty of it. The rice supported the plantation owners and the slaves, and the hundreds of slaves, and the mosquitoes sent the owners in the Charleston in the summertime. If you've ever been to Charleston, any of the tours, they make a big deal of that. In the summer, they all came in with their dresses and all that. Not Eliza. Eliza would have nothing to do with it. She kept up on the plantation 6 miles up the river with the crops, experimenting, trying to find another crop that would bring some cash. And you all know what it is, right?
Indica.
You got it, Walter. Walter's one of these encyclopedic guys. Do you make money with it? With that mine here? Okay. Indigo. It makes blue dye, so you can, ship it back to England. Verses 17 and 18 here this morning. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. Let me ask you something. Are we emphasizing enough with our young women, and for that matter, our young men, the need to develop practical skills? Are we? They're learning all about this abstract stuff, right? Macroeconomics, microeconomics. I won't say accounting, Ken. All this abstract stuff, but are they learning basic skills? Last year, I had a very interesting experience with my two little granddaughters, Caroline and Lindsay White, Christopher's two children. But Christopher, he said, you need to get down here and work with those kids. They want a garden. So we planted a garden, and we got the bags of stuff and the seeds and all that. I was amazed at how interested those little kids were in some just simple stuff. Now, why do I tell you that story? Well, I just think we need to keep our kids today, don't you, connected to some of the simple things and the simple skills. Who knows where we're going in this, what did he call it, Bernanke, the other day? Unusually uncertain times? Or unusually uncertain. Yeah, who knows? But basic skills. Eliza focused men on indigo, and by And she got here in 1734, and by the early 40s, 1744, she got it to work. She had it figured out. She kept experimenting. And by 1850, South Carolina was shipping back to England 1 million pounds a year. And she made sure everybody in the community was involved. This is a very fantastic person, obviously. Verse 19, in her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the handle with her fingers. Those are symbols. The spindle and the distaff are symbols of what? Hard work. Hard work. Like the women in our lives, I am amazed at how hard my wife Suzanne works. And I've mentioned her here many times. How many of you have gotten a personal note from her after you sent a check to the ministry? Verse 20 today. Verse 20, make sure you thank them today when you go home. Recognize them, what they're doing, okay? Verse 20, you know, I'm getting cataracts, and I didn't take my eye drops this morning. I'm struggling here a little bit. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. This girl is unbelievable. Eliza Lucas, when the poor people around her couldn't afford a lawyer, she did their wills for them. But she made it a point, all the lawyers here, she made it a point. When you get back on your feet, you make sure you get yourself a real lawyer. Cokie makes that point in the book. Okay, men. The reason why we know so much about this young woman is because she had an incredible foresight. And she copied all of her letters. So she's an historian's delight. You know, it's hard to find stuff 300 years old. And she had so much foresight that she would plant oak trees that her uncle laughed about. She said, hey, we're going to need these oaks when we get into the shipbuilding business someday. And sure enough, you know. Have you ever been to, is it Bonaventure Cemetery? Have you been to Bonaventure Cemetery? And you know, it's 65 acres of oak trees. Somebody planted those a long time ago. 65 acres. It's the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. We buried Mr. Bill Soms there a couple of months ago. Beautiful. Runs along the Wilmington River, runs alongside there. 65 acres of oak trees. Somebody had some incredible foresight. Men, lastly this morning, not lastly for Proverbs 31. This is too rich. These principles are too rich for us to go through too quickly. Charles Pinckney lived in South Carolina in Charleston with his wife Mary. He's a very prominent attorney, and they were friends of Eliza Lucas. But in 1744, his wife Mary died, probably of disease. You know, things were tough down there. You can imagine. Charles was in his 40s. Eliza was in her early 20s. Now, after the grief of the loss of Mary Pinckney, guess what? After a suitable time of grieving, guess what? Right, it's time for Eliza Lucas to get married, and we'll finish this wonderful story next time. But what I try to do this morning, by telling the story of this founding mother, and she's the first person that Cokie Roberts writes about in the book, 250 years ago, is this. Here's what I'm trying to get over here this morning. God gave the description of true womanhood. True womanhood. Do you see somebody just laying around here eating bonbons? A woman that's kept who doesn't understand the affairs of her household? No. This is the model of true womanhood, and it was given to us by God 3,000 years ago. In the Proverbs. And the standard is the foundation, men, of our whole society. And the challenge today for all of us is this. Are we setting the standard high enough to challenge the young women in our lives? Are we? Let's have prayer together this morning. Okay, Lord, here we are, as Will pointed out, as Tommy early this morning at 7:15 pointed out, here we are in a public restaurant in a country founded on the principles and the truth from your scriptures. There's no doubt about it. These were the founding people. This is what motivated them. This is what inspired them. And here we are today, 250 years later, still enjoying the benefits. We thank you for it. We don't take it for granted. We praise you this morning in Jesus' name.